welcome to Let's Talk Tottenham. Apologies for the red shirt. I didn't think this morning, and it's too late now, and you don't want to see me topless, so the red shirt will have to do. Got a big game against Villa this weekend. It's going to decide, well, not necessarily decide, but it's going to go a long way in deciding who gets Europa League, who gets Conference League, and the one who gets Conference League could end up dropping out altogether if Brighton pick their form up. But thanks for watching. A couple of people in the chat already. Eugene, how you doing, everybody? Levy out. And Bobby K, how you doing, buddy? Please get your comments in, get your questions in. Regarding the Villa game, Kane we're talking about as well. He's been on Sky Sports. When is he not on Sky Sports? Lovis, Kulu, and a lot more besides that. Please hit the like and also share the video. Be great. I really appreciate it. So, first things first. Massive game. This is the table so far. So I've put fourth up there. We aren't getting fourth, so it's a bit pointless, but probably not even getting fifth either. If only we'd have beaten Man United and Liverpool, we'd be sitting pretty in fourth at the moment. But sixth, seventh, eighth. I've put Brentford on there as well. They're still mathematically able to overtake us if Spurs, Brighton, Villa lose all their games and Brentford win. But what an amazing season for Brentford anyway, regardless if they finish ninth or not. Absolutely superb. But we're sitting at the top of the pile in sixth at the moment for the Europa League space. Sixth is Europa League. Seventh is Conference. Brighton, though, do have two games in hand. So although that shock result that they had against Everton, a 5-1 drubbing at home as well to a relegation threatened side, it's not a foregone conclusion that they're going to win those two games in hand. And then the Villa game, if we can beat Villa, I think that puts us away from them, barring a huge swing in goal difference. But it's a big game for the quest for Europa League. Like I say, the Champions League is out. Unai Emery will be hoping Villa can get in, not just because obviously that's good for Villa, but he's won that competition countless times, knows how to win that competition. So he'll be feeling confident if they can get in that they can go, he can go and win that competition again. But for us, this Villa game, we'll talk about the game, how it pan out a bit later on, but it's not going to be easy by any stretch. They beat us 2-0 at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium earlier in the season under Steven Gerrard. I think it was under Gerrard, not Emery. But anyway, 2-0. So they're looking for the six points in a season against us. And they're full of form. Another shock result for them. Wolves turning them over 1-0 last weekend. I think Villa were away, though. But again, still a surprise there. But they'll start off quick. They'll start off quick. And they'll be still full of confidence. And Mark Cousins in the chat. How you doing, Mark? Great to meet you last week at the Palace game. Hope you're doing well. But yeah, Villa will not be easy. Ollie Watkins, banging form, along with countless others there, completely been transformed under Emery. And if it's the same as the Liverpool and the Newcastle game. If we don't start off quick, Villa will start off quick. If we don't start off quick, we're going to be on the end of a bit of a drubbing early doors there. And you can't keep going 2-0, 3-0 down and expect to come out on top. You've got to make it difficult for the opposition, certainly the home team, to get any momentum. It's just the bare minimum. And we're not doing that at the moment. But whether under Ryan Mason it's slowly getting there remains to be seen. But yeah, we need to start that game well, because Villa, last result aside, are bang in form and will be bang up for this. And Emery will want to win as well because of the old Arsenal connection. And yeah, if we don't start well, it's not going to be a very pleasant afternoon. If we can start well, then we can grow into the game and then maybe start playing football, get the first goal, and then take it from there. Very, very, very interesting, though. And again, it's one of these games that is very difficult to call. And for me, it all depends on which Tottenham turn up and how well Villa start the game. Let's try and make it difficult for them. That's what I'm hoping. But we'll come on to that a bit later on as well. A few stories come out with players. So the first one is regarding our captain, Hugo Lloris, who reports are saying he's played his last game for us with injuries, and then he's off to Saudi Arabia at the end of the season. Be a shame if he went there, but he has been, I wouldn't say awful for us in the last couple of years. He's made some really important saves, but decision-making has been very poor recently, and it's cost us quite a few goals. Kicking has always been atrocious. No idea how he hasn't improved in that. When you're on a training ground, you can stay there for an extra hour, like Harry Kane does with penalties. Just practice your kicking. You've got those metal mannequin things that they use for the wall in free kicks. Stick them at various areas. Get a coach to pass you the ball, chase you down. You've got to go and hit the mannequin. You don't go home until they're all falling over. I don't understand how he can't be any better at kicking since he turned up. Shot stopping, fantastic. Although in recent years, certainly this season, he's been to the Jordan Pickford school of goalkeeping, where he pushes it out into the centre of the box, into the danger area, rather than putting it out for a throw, corner, or just wide. And that worries me. So now, if Lloris plays, I'm nervous. If Forster plays, I'm not as nervous. always slightly nervous because of this god-awful defence that we've got in front of them. But yeah, his decision-making has been pretty poor, and it has been since he won the World Cup the first time and got done for drink driving. But having said that, in his whole tenure at Spurs, he's by far and away the best goalkeeper that we've had in my lifetime. And 16-17 season, the season before and the season after, absolutely superb. Can't fault that at all. And shame to see him go. He is our captain. But yeah, he should have been sold a couple of years ago, to be perfectly honest, in my opinion anyway, when he started making the mistakes and get a goalkeeper in. If he goes to Saudi Arabia, he's obviously going to get paid an absolute fortune. Some people will say, oh, he's sold out and taking the money. But if someone's offering you three times the money that you're on, people would criticise you for saying, no, it's okay, I'll stay on the less money. Especially if we're not going to play him, if we're going to get another goalkeeper. David Raya is out of contract at the end of season. That's Brentford's goalkeeper. I wouldn't be even slightly upset if we went and got him, certainly for free or for a very cut price. We need a new goalkeeper, a new number one. He's obviously had a very good season at Brentford, and Brentford had a very good season as well. But I wouldn't mind him at all. Jordan Pickford, don't want him at all for the whole reasons I've talked about with Lloris, palming stuff into the middle. But he has signed a new contract with Everton, so I think that's gone, thankfully, anyway. Diogo Costa, he plays somewhere in Spain or Portugal, and I can't remember where. That's very poor. Fantastic goalkeeper, but he will be expensive. So, Vea, even though he will be free and cheap, it's no reflection on his ability or anything like that. It's just the situation. It's very similar to the Kane situation that we've got. You know, Kane could go for summer next summer free. No reflection on his ability at all. It's just a situation that the club have got them in. So, David Raya, be very happy with him. But we definitely need a new goalkeeper. Forster, nothing wrong with him, but he is 36 or 30. I may be doing him a bit of a disservice. He's well into his 30s, so he's not the future at all. We need a younger goalkeeper, and David Raya would fit that bill. Another player, this guy, signing him, an absolute foregone conclusion, I would have thought, but there have been reports saying that the deal might not happen and Juventus are waiting for us to decide. I don't really know what there is to decide. Even if the money's slightly more because we won't be in Champions League, it's not going to be rising from 40 to like 80. And he's a young player. He's just having a bit of a bad season. Injuries, form, and form of the team, confidence of the team as well. In and out of the team, I don't think have helped. He started off against Southampton this season, absolutely on fire, best player on the pitch by a mile. It just hasn't worked for him like it did last season. But players have poor form. Kane had terrible form at the start of last season, but there was no talk of dropping him or not picking him. So Kulu has shown that he can do it in the Premier League. End of last season, and very beginning of this season, absolutely on fire. Class is permanent, form is temporary. New manager in, an attacking manager. I think we'll see the best of Kulu. Richarlison as well, I think, as well. Certainly if Kane does leave, I think Richarlison goes up top, and that's where he plays his best football, certainly for Brazil and Everton last year. Richard Hutchinson in the chat. How are you doing, Richard? Leeds are going down into the Championship. Too late for Big Sam to make an impact and put his stamp on the team. Three quarters of the game in charge. Everton and Forest will survive. Everton definitely look like it. Leeds, I wouldn't be so sure. They've got Dr. Tottenham on the last game of the season. And if they need a win away from home, at home, sorry, who better to come than Tottenham? Forest have picked some stuff up, and Everton with the draw against Leicester and the battering of Brighton. Still can't believe that result. I think they'll be okay. And he goes on to say, Leeds defence is shocking and leak goals in for fun. No change there since the Bielsa days. No identity, no strategy, no idea, and desperate to survive the Premier League. Leeds 3-1 loss to Newcastle is what he's predicting this weekend. Big Sam will get that defence sorted out. But yeah, is it too late for him, like Richard says, with only three or four games in charge? Be very interesting. But they have got Spurs last game of the season. But yeah, Kulu, not signing him would be absolutely crazy. He's 22, 23, like I say, just in bad form. Get a new manager in, an attacking manager. Or even with Ryan Mason now, keep him in the team. Get him some confidence. He'll be flying again. We need that playmaker for him, I think. It was okay last season when Kane was dropping deep because you had him and Son going forward, taking up Kane's position while Kane dropped deep. Not really happened so far this season. And under Conte and Stellini, it was such negative football. Last year under Conte, it was attacking football in a sense of defend as a team and be defensive and rigid. But those three up top, you go do your stuff. And they kind of had a free role amongst each other. Kane dropping deep, the others going forward. Kane going on the wing if one of them went into the middle. This season completely changed. And I don't see any coincidence with that changing is what's brought Kulu's form down. And Son's form as well dropping, I think, has probably affected him a little bit as well. Because Son wasn't making the runs that he was making last year and seasons before. So therefore, there's not as much space for Kulu to work into. But the injuries definitely have not helped, and therefore being in and out of the team. But in terms of would I sign him or would I not, not signing him would not even come into my thought process. Sign the guy. He's a quality player. He will be a quality player. He's still young, still going to learn. And we've seen what he can do in the Premier League. So not signing him, absolutely ridiculous. Kane as well. Talking about Kane, he was on Sky Sports. When is he not? When the transfer window is coming near. When is he not on Sky Sports talking about transfers and moving away? But they obviously talked about Daniel Levy at Cambridge Union with that ridiculous talk. Saying all the right things that just no evidence that he's going to do that and haven't in the previous few years. About the statue of Harry Kane. Can't believe we're talking about a statue of Harry Kane when we haven't even got one of Jimmy Greaves. Ridiculous. Anyway, would he want a statue? Said it's very flattering, but it's not up to him. It's up to the chairman. He's just trying to help Spurs. Very kind of interesting. He again isn't saying all the right things. I know Graham Souness had a go at him for being media trained on TV in a week interview. I mean, Graham, you should be saying that about pretty much everybody who does an interview. If that's the case, they're all media trained these days. They don't want to say anything to rock the boat. But he knows what he's saying, Harry Kane. He's not going to say, I want to leave flat out on TV. Because there will be Spurs fans there who have been saying, oh, he should leave and win trophies. He'll then turn on him and go, oh, disgrace, he hates Tottenham now. But he's not going to say that. It's all going to be behind closed doors, whether he wants to leave or not. But yeah, saying all the right things. Ryan Mason as well has brought back some of the values of Spurs that have gone missing, which he was looking for. Ryan Mason gets a job. Does that mean Harry Kane will stay because the values are there? I don't know. We'll talk about Mason in a bit. But for me, it needs to be a manager with some pedigree and reputation. So a Nagelsmann to keep convince Kane to stay, because that would suggest, I would say, that a big project is afoot. Whereas Mason, is he just a kind of stopgap until we get the right manager? And he hasn't really had any experience. Mason really needs to go and get some experience. But yeah, with Kane, he's saying all the right things. There won't be any decision made until after the season is finished. So we've got three games left. There won't be any decision made about Kane's future until after that. He's probably not even really thinking about it, to be perfectly honest. And then at the end of the season, there's no World Cup or Euros or anything like that. So we can really have a sit down, have a think, chat with the chairman, chat with the managing director, director of football or manager, if we have one by then, and then make a decision. But it's all just talk at the moment. Sky Sports trying to get him to open up and say something, but he's too shrewd for that. He ain't going to say anything like that. And he's just getting on with the football at the moment. Richard with going to Leeds, the 3-1 loss to Newcastle there. 2-1 to West Ham and 4-3 to Spurs. I'm not sure my heart could take a 4-3, depending. Is that a 3-0 down and we come back like we did against Liverpool? Certainly both teams can't defend. Southampton bottom, Leeds second bottom, Leicester third bottom is his prediction there. I think Leicester, if they go down, James Maddison is off. I think if they stay up, he's off anyway, but it might just end up being a bit easier to get him for the price that you want to get him if they do go down. We need James Maddison. We need a playmaker. James Ward-Prowse, is he a playmaker? I'm not sure if he is or not. Certainly not like James Maddison. But Ward-Prowse is the playmaker, like the Scholes, who doesn't run about as much. I'm not saying he doesn't run about, but James Maddison will go up and down and drive with the ball. James Ward-Prowse passing is unbelievable. So I'd be happy with either one of those as a playmaker. Maddison, though, shades it for me. I think he's a better player. But hopefully we get one of the two. I think Southampton are definitely down. So James Ward-Prowse will want to leave. He'll want to cement his England place. Same with Maddison as well. But I think if he wants his England place, no disrespect to Leicester, but no disrespect to Leicester, but he'll want to be playing either in European football or teams fighting to get into European football. Mark, buddy of mine, if Kane leaves, how are you doing, Mark? Andy Carroll might be your man. Probably won't want League One. It's a bit of a shame what's happened to Reading, certainly with the 6 points gone down. I do know that apparently it's different rules, financial rules in the Football League than it is in the Premier League in Europe, but still a bit ridiculous. But you can't really compensate for not winning a game in the last six or seven. But you'll bounce back from League One. You'll be in the Championship in a couple of years. But yeah, it'll be interesting what happens with Kane. I personally think if he does leave, and I think a bid will come in for you from United this season, this summer, 70, 80 million, test the waters. If he does leave, I think Richarlison will be put up top, and then we'll go and use the money to get other players that we need in. Certainly a defence, a goalkeeper if we don't go for Vea, who's free, and a playmaker. And see what Richarlison can do up top. He did well for Everton, obviously. Saying you can get any, you know, this person isn't as good as Kane. There's not really anyone you can get who's as good as Kane. Haaland is unbelievable, but he can't assist the amount of goals that Kane's got assists. So Kane's got 26 goals or 25 goals in the Premier League, and he assists as well. There's no other striker that does that. So if you lose Kane, you're not getting anyone like Kane or anyone as good as Kane, because Haaland's as good as him, if not better, striking, but he's not an assister. So therefore, Kane overall is the better player. Better striker, probably Haaland. But we need a Kane in the team if we don't have a playmaker. So if we don't get a playmaker and get rid of Kane, I don't see where the goals are coming from unless Alfie Devine gets a big, big step up next season. I can't see that. I can't see that. Even though I think he should. I think he should. Let's talk about our manager situation. So guy just has perplexed us, all of us, about who the new manager is. But I've seen reports that his odds are getting shorter and a bit more of a favourite to become manager. Worries me a little bit. Like I said, he's got no real experience, just only as a caretaker. He really needs to go to a Championship, League One. Reading, I don't think, would be a bad shout for him. Learn his trade there and be a manager, a full-time manager, just not just the caretaker manager, or learning off the managers and being the number two. And then come back and manage at Spurs. I think he'll be a Spurs manager at some point in the future. But at this moment in time, I don't think that future should be next season. I think he needs to go learn his trade in a lesser league, with a team with not much not as much pressure. With Spurs, there's always pressure. It's all about the top four. You're always asked if Kane's going to leave. So go and get a manager job somewhere else. And then that obviously leaves who's going to be our manager. I want Nagelsmann. If we can get Nagelsmann, I think that would be good. And that will obviously, he's got a reputation. So that will maybe convince Kane to stay for a year. I don't think he's going to sign a new contract unless something miraculous happens next season, which I can't see. Which is why if someone comes in, Chelsea potentially bidding if Poch goes for 100 million, is reports I've seen. I'd hate him to go to Chelsea, but at the end of the day, that 100 million could be used very wisely, if used wisely. So if someone bids 100 million for Kane, doesn't matter who it is, you're going to have to accept it, I'm afraid. And if that's Chelsea, it's going to have to be Chelsea. But I'm not sure they will, I think. And there's no guarantee that he'll accept that. He may either go, well, I'm not going to Chelsea. I'll wait until next season and there'll be a queue of me lining me up for free. But I think Man United will bid. But then again, you want to win trophies. What are you going to win at Man United at the moment? FA Cup or League Cup? We're not in Europe or in a European competition where we can rest our star players for large chunks of it. You've got as good a chance as winning one of those with Spurs, I'd say. Mark Cousins, Vodgers incoming after the season ticket deadline. I know Mac on the show on Monday was saying he's a big fan or a fan of Vodgers and would be pleased if we got him. For me, I don't think he can defend, and when we have terrible defence anyway, we need someone who can sort that defence out. We'll obviously play attacking football, and then the whole Madison thing may be even easier to get over the line if Rodgers is our manager. It'd be attacking football and entertaining football at least, so I guess that's a start compared to where we've been recently. But for me, I wouldn't want Rodgers there. I don't rate him hugely as manager. I know he should have won the league with Liverpool and he was very close. Steven Gerrard slip away. So he has got some kind of pedigree, I guess. Celtic is one of two winning the league there, but he did win it in a canter. But if Rodgers did become manager, I wouldn't be happy about it, but I wouldn't be booing him or anything like that. I'd back him and support him. I didn't want Poch when we first got Poch, and look how that turned out. So, you know, what do I know? What do I know? Become our best manager in my era by a distance. But Nagelsmann is who I want. Rodgers, I guess both of those you could say are project managers. But again, it comes down to Levy. Is Levy going to give them what they want and buy what they want? The players in for the fees they want, just get them in, and the players out. We've got a lot of players on loan. Ndombele, Lo Celso, Winks, Reguilon. I'm sure I'm missing a few. Vodon, I'm sure I'm missing a few. All of those are coming back. And they've been surplus to requirements this season. No one seems to want to buy them. Are we just going to let them go for nothing? So if Rodgers, Nagelsmann, even Mason, whoever the manager is, wants players out, Levy has got to get them out. Or the managing director, Scott Munn, or the new director of football, whoever it may be, have got to get them out. Is that going to happen? Who knows? But yeah, it'll be interesting to see the end of the season who our manager is. Again, I don't think there's going to be anything decided with director of football and manager until the end of the season, along with Kane. It's all focused on the football at the moment with Mason in charge. I'd be very surprised if Levy doesn't know what's happening and what is going to happen and who's going to come in. I'd imagine it's all been like verbal agreement or something like that. Or already been signed, but just not made aware to the public. But we'll see. We'll see. We come on to another manager now. Emery turned Villa's fortunes where they were under Gerrard at the end compared to where they are now fighting for European football. Nothing short miraculous what he's done there. And people talk about Pep and others, manager of the year and Arteta. But you could even put, I think, even though it's a short term compared to those two guys, Emery is manager of the year. Completely changed how they play, completely changed their fortunes. They're now so much of a threat going forward, whereas they seemed easier to contain, apart from when they come to Tottenham Stadium. And yeah, this is going to be a real, real, real tough game. And he's turned Ollie Watkins into a top striker. He was anyway. But Ollie Watkins, I'm pretty sure, has said in interviews that he did a lot of his running. But Emery said, you're doing it in the wrong areas. Make sure you do it in these areas. Now he's getting goals and getting involved in all sorts of attacking play. And they've got a real, real good team. And G-Mac, how you doing, buddy? Good evening. I wonder if that's a typo or... Yeah, I'm pretty sure it isn't. And he was on Monday. Yeah, this is my spare room. So thank you very much. So not where the magic happens. That's next door. Anyway. And yeah, Emery, good evening, Emery. Wouldn't have expected anything less from you, Gareth. But as much as we take the mick and everything, in terms of the football side, we've got to respect Villa because, like I said, if we don't turn up in the first half, they will turn us over like Liverpool did, like Man United did, like Newcastle did. And apart from Newcastle, who are a really good team, Liverpool and Man United aren't that great teams. And we gave them a head start, and that's why we didn't win matches. Yeah, Gareth says they've improved a lot under him. It'd be interesting to see what they do next season, certainly with a few transfers. But yeah, this game, those two teams, United and Liverpool in particular, weren't great teams. And Newcastle, we could have competed with those if we did compete, which we didn't. Trying something that we've never tried before against a team fighting for the Champions League was absolutely crazy from Stellini. But yeah, and Villa are a good team. But they're not Newcastle level. They're not Man City or, I hate to say it, Arsenal level this season. So if we approach the game correctly, we can get something out of this. We can keep it tight. Maybe have a few chances ourselves. Keep their fans quiet and then grow into the game. But yeah, Emery has done wonders there. And in terms of the game, how will the game pan out? Like I've said, it depends which Tottenham turn up. Yeah, Gareth says, loving the new logo. Ben done a top job. That's Ben Kaufman. Get over to the coffee company. It's in London. He's got a YouTube channel, but he's also on Tottenham on Tour. So get over there as well. He's done logos for all sorts of people. Purple and yellow, that's the Levy out kind of colours there because they don't relate to Spurs directly in terms of the white, but they do relate to Spurs. And so yeah, if you see purple and yellow or gold, that's what that means. And big thanks to Ben for creating that as well. Yeah, in terms of the game panning out, I don't know, because I don't know which Spurs will turn up. And then if the terrible Spurs turn up, the good Villa will turn up. If the good Spurs turn up, it'll be more difficult for the good Villa to turn up. Matt, Gareth saying, am I putting you off your flow? You've been on here plenty of times, Gareth. You know there is no flow. So me doing the show is putting myself off of my flow because there is no flow, no plan. I just waffle on. You know this. But yeah, if we can turn up and keep their fans quiet, maybe create a few chances, limit their chances, that will shut the crowd up. We'll hopefully getting the ascendancy, and then we can grow into the game. And then it can be a low scoring win for us, hopefully. If we don't turn up and do what we did against Newcastle, Liverpool, United, their fans will be bang up for it. Like, they'll be bang up for it because at the start of the game, regardless, it's our job to shut them up quickly. If we don't shut them up quickly and let them have chances, they'll score goals before we do. And then it's going to be another uphill struggle, mountain in the climb with a goal deficit that we've got to get back with most of the game left. But yeah, it depends on which Spurs turn up, depending on what of those scenarios happens. But Forster will be in goal. I'd imagine it'll be the same team that played against Palace, pretty much. Emerson, who I thought was fantastic. Vermeer, who I thought was fantastic. Longley, who had one of his better games. And Davies on the left. Was it Paul? Yeah, Davies on the left. Mark Cousins, full of optimism, 2-0 down after 10 minutes. It is then. Be very interesting to see what formation Mason puts out. For me, I think it would be the same as the Palace one. So that was almost a 4-4-2, certainly forward in defence. And Emerson looks so much more at home as a fullback than a wingback. Romero looks so much better without having to worry about Dyer and having to worry about Porro not being able to defend on his right side. So he's able to just concentrate on his defending and work with Longley for the line and everything like that. Longley, I can't remember him really being in the game, which is a good sign for a defender, apart from when he pulled the guy down at the end. And Elias, how you doing? Thanks so much for watching and your comment. I hope you're doing well. Please hit the like and share the video as well. Also get your comments in. That really helps. And thanks to everyone who's done that so far. Yeah, and Davies, I think it was Davies on the left, Perisic injured. Perisic is like Porro, can't really defend. He wants to go forward. So Davies is much more naturally at home as a defender. And in a 4-4-2, when you have fullbacks, and yeah, Gareth saying to Mark Cousins, have faith, Emerson the GOAT is back. So we look so much better. It is worth being said, Palace were terrible and didn't really create anything, so it is slightly difficult to tell if the defense played well. But how many times have they not had much to do in games this season and they've made a mistake and let the other team in? And Mark Cousins really has faith has really gone from Spurs. Faith is gone years ago. I think we all hear you on that one. But try and have a bit of faith. It is becoming a bit better under Mason. But yeah, Palace didn't really do anything. So it's very kind of difficult to tell if the defence were good or just able to, no pressure on them, able to do the easy stuff well. Villa will be very, very different. If Villa play as bad as Crystal Palace are, I'd be absolutely shocked. Absolutely shocked. And I can't see that happening. But we definitely looked more comfortable. Like I said, we didn't make the silly mistakes that we've been making this season when we haven't been under pressure and then putting ourselves under pressure. And Romero went storming into challenges, but none of this rashness. It was hard challenges, firm challenges, but none of this. Yeah, none of this going into challenges where he's got no chance of winning the ball and then gets a yellow card or a red card or gives away a foul. Really mature performance from him. Again, Zaha really was the only one who was running at people and he was kind of running into cul-de-sacs in the end. But that'll be the defence. And then I would imagine Skip and Højbjerg will keep their places. And then Kane and Son obviously keep their places. And then it's very Porro was superb against Palace. The cross that he's got on him, Emerson's crossing is terrible. Porro's was superb. That cross for the goal, striker's dream. And he looks so much better when he was a winger, essentially, with no real responsibility other than tracking back and helping Emerson. No real responsibility to defend because he can't defend. He reminds me of a Gareth Bale when he came to us, who was a wing back. Not a wing back. He needs to be further forward. Absolutely superb. So I think he'll keep his place, even though I said earlier, put Kulu in and get him some confidence. On the other flip of the coin, you can't get rid of Porro if he's going to play that formation with him as a winger, essentially, because he was superb. And he's going to cause teams all sorts of problems. And you need that competition for places. Same with Richarlison not getting in. Although Son didn't do a huge amount against Palace, so maybe put Richarlison in there. But this is a big, big, big game. So I would be saying play your top team. Mark Cousins, I was there as well. It was great to meet you, Mark. Palace game was the most torturous thing I've ever witnessed, and I've seen some rubbish. It was one of the worst games I think I've ever seen. Certainly the one of the worst that I've ever been to. But at least we won. At least we won. How many times have we seen boring games this season and we've ended up losing? So maybe the tide is turning. Villa won't be like that, I don't think, because Villa will attack us. Palace added to that game with just being horrendous. But back in the day, if we'd have had a playmaker, we'd have ended up winning that game against Palace fairly comfortably because we'd have had players being able to unlock the door where it was very side to side and backwards. But yeah, Kulu, I would leave out. I'd keep Porro in. Kulu, give him a pre-season, sign him up. Maybe the uncertainty whether he's being signed is affecting his confidence as well. But sign him up, get him in pre-season with a new manager, whoever that may be. Get him the confidence then and then see what he does next season. Because like I said, this season he started with the Southampton game absolutely on fire. But yeah, Porro, I would start. I don't think you can drop him at the moment. Certainly in a forward play. If he switches to five at the back again and wing-backs, then Porro's out of the team because he can't defend. But I don't think he will. I think he'll play 4-4-2 or whatever the formation was. It was almost... Porro, yeah, it was almost... Players were dropping and into areas, so extra defender and things like that when we didn't have the ball. But going forward and with the ball, it definitely looked like a 4-4-2 for me. But yeah, and just take the game to Villa. Take the game to Villa and don't just sit back and wait for Villa to attack us and then go 2-0 up and then go and start playing football. Go and take the initiative. Let Kane drop deep, Kulu, Porro, Son, Richarlison, whoever's up top with him, two out of those four, I'd say, take his place so Kane can do his stuff in the middle of the park and be our playmaker and create chances and go take the game. Approach it professionally. Don't just be so standoffish and reactive. Get into them and then we can really cause them a problem. We can really cause them a problem. Stand off. We won't be causing them anything. until we decide that we're going to when we're 2-0 down. But a huge, huge game. That, you know, regardless what happens, brilliant season for Villa under Emery, and they'll be full of optimism for next season with Emery there from the start and a transfer window. Yeah, and hopefully we can win and get in Europa League. That would be ideal. And Jens, how you doing? How are you doing, Jens? I'm good, thanks. Ask me tomorrow about 4 o'clock. It might be very, very different, but I'm good. Hope you're doing well as well, buddy. But yeah, and that would be my team as well. I pretty much picked the exact same team that started against Palace. I know it was terrible, but give Kane a bit more license to go and wander around and maraud around and create stuff. And yeah, keep Porro there. I mean, Kane must be loving him playing. With crosses like that. And John, you miss a player like Eriksen. Every time I've seen Spurs play this season, it feels like there's no creativity in midfield. Just feels like deadwood. John hit the nail on the head. And most Spurs fans have been saying that for a long time. Never replaced Eriksen. I cannot believe we didn't try and get Eriksen in the summer when he was free. We need a Maddison. We need a James Ward-Prowse. Someone like that. Both would be amazing. I know the defence needs sorting out, the goalkeeper needs sorting out, but for me, the creativity, the playmaker, which at the moment our playmaker is our striker, which is ridiculous, we need to address that in the summer. And with an attacking manager, I don't think an attacking manager, or the ones that have been linked anyway, Rodgers, Nagelsmann, Potter, even Mason, will be saying, my team's complete in midfield. I need a playmaker. So I think we'll get a playmaker in. But yeah, absolutely like you say, John. As soon as Eriksen left, we never replaced him. And we look so, so poor. That's why partly the Palace game was so boring, because it was two teams who didn't want to attack and couldn't attack. But yeah, the Villa game, like I say, that'll be my team. The team that started against Palace. Yeah, yeah. Like Mark says, we nearly replaced Eriksen with Eriksen. Tells you everything you need to know about the whole plan. But that'll be my team against Villa, the same one against Palace. Let Kane go marauding round. tell the team, get them fired up. Seems to fire them up in the second halves. Fire them up in the first half. Play the first halves like we're playing the second halves under Mason. And then we can do a job. But that's pretty much it today. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Be back on Monday with guests talking about the Villa game. Hopefully a win. Hopefully talking about a win against Villa. It's a little bit more optimistic now. I know Mark Cousins isn't. He's obviously been dragged down by the dross that has been Tottenham this season and previous seasons. But yeah. And just one more from John. Southampton are going down. James Ward-Prowse is perfect fit. He'd also be the best free kick taker in the world. He offers a lot in that midfield. He's the reason Southampton stayed up for so long. Yeah, I mean, personally, I'd want Maddison. I think he's a better player. But yeah, James Ward-Prowse, if we got him, I would not be losing any sleep at all. And he would be fantastic. Corners, free kicks. And like I said earlier, Maddison drives with the ball and goes forward a lot more. Wes Ward-Prowse, I think, is a bit more like Scholes and Gerrard at the end of his career, where he's spraying the ball around from midfield. Similar to kind of Modric when he played for us, and certainly at Madrid. So yeah, and I think one of those will be coming to Tottenham. I think both are going down. Oh, Southampton are going down. Leicester, very close to going down. And if we got Rodgers as well, I think Maddison, we'd be in a better position to try and get him. But yeah, that's the end of the show today. Thank you so much for watching. Please hit the like if you haven't done so already. Also, share if you haven't already. If you haven't, also, subscribe. Really helps the channel. Hit that notification bell. Thanks to all of the comments that came in. Really helps the show and really appreciate it. Back on Monday with a few guests for that one as well, talking about the Villa game. Hopefully a Villa win. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Thanks so much for watching, for everybody who joined in the live chat and added comments. Before you go, please leave a like and hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, please hit that notification bell. That'll give you a notification every time we're about to go live, and it's all completely free. For those who missed the live show, you can catch this whenever you want on Let's Talk Tottenham's YouTube channel. Please also hit the like, subscribe and notification bell. And everybody, please leave feedback, comments, suggestions in the comments section on the YouTube videos. For those of you who listen to the audio podcast, thank you so much for listening. Anyone who wants that audio podcast, you can pick that up wherever you get your podcast from. We're back Mondays, 7:30 p.m. UK time, and Fridays, 12:30 p.m. UK time. Alternatively, if you go to Twitter at Let's Talk Tottenham, Instagram Let's Talk Tottenham Podcast, you'll find all the information there. Anyone who wants something a little bit different, also do a magic show. So I do one trick a week, which drops Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. UK time. Chris's Magic on YouTube is where you'll find that. But in the meantime, come on, you